Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私はヘブルで、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Hallelujah. Bless you all, my sisters. Bless you all, bless you all. I am Sister Ashley, your host of tonight's show. I'm here. Hallelujah. I have a live audience. Say shalom.
Shalom.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Bless y'all. Bless y'all. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of the Most High Yah is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us through Ruach HaKodesh. Bless you all. In the precious name of Jesus, Yahushua. Hallelujah. We are here to conversate and to hopefully have an edifying conversation for you all. I'm going to be interviewing Mother Jennifer tonight. No, she didn't know. And no, she doesn't know what I'll ask her. I have nothing before me. I have no questions written down. That's the plan for tonight. Please give me a sound check if you can hear me. Mother Jennifer there in Georgia, thank you for your faithfulness, your family, all of Georgia. Bless you all. Great interview from Michael Israel and Elder Rufus. Thank you for that, allowing us to visually see it. It's been very edifying. I enjoy every avenue of the ministry and what we all produce. Thank you so much for supporting Elder Rufus. Mother Jennifer, chime in. Let's get a sound check.
Shalom and bless you, Sister Ashley. Blessings to you all, Daughters of Zion. I am loving the live audience aspect that we have now. It really is a wonderful thing. And I want to say blessings to the house of Brother Michael Israel. Very good job with the interview that was done with Elder Rufus. Again, just like the interview with Pastor Dow, thought the questions were very concise and to the point and just really brought out the wisdom from the man of Yah. So I pray everyone can hear me. It's exciting to be here. Life is very exciting, and I'm so thankful to be able to have it. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I am, let's see, how many are here? Five? Five, yes. I enjoy the live dynamics. I must give a shout-out to Sister Alex. I think she was one of my first ones who came every week. Sister Alex used to bring something to eat.
Yeah.
Didn't she? Would she bring popcorn and all sorts of things? Oh, back in the day, Pastor Dow would have his blog talk in the tabernacle, and at that time, a large exodus had taken place just from all sorts of different places in the United States, and they would all come. It was a big thing. We all got settled in, you know. I think even winter had hit, for example, and it was colder. We stopped traveling up the hill. We kind of all stayed and enjoyed in our homes. But, yeah, really thankful for this. This is very, very honoring, very humbling for anyone to have to sit around and hear you. So I thank you all, everyone, wherever you are, in your living room or in this room. Bless y'all. To the Philippines, my family is so heavy in my heart. It's hard not to speak of it. It's hard not to choke up, really, when I speak of it. I can't serve you, help you, or love you. And that goes for, you know, big reality check across the board with the vaccinations, with the, hey, we're living in the latter days, the end of time. Some of us just won't believe it until it all pops off. So, hallelujah. Hallelujah anyhow. I know it's going to be humbling, whatever's ahead for us in our future. It's going to be very humbling. And it's going to demand that we cry out. And I pray that the crying out is taking place now, so that he doesn't have to mock our calamity, that we don't wait, you know, for calamity to pop off before we start speaking to the Most High. Pray that we're all cultivating a relationship with him right now. All praises to the Most High for his great level of fear that just wraps me like a blanket. It really, really does. I used to pray for it. Now I live it. He's right there. He's right there. Father, you are faithful. You are right there in my conscience. You're quick to lead, to convict, to direct me at all times to submit and obey and to love at all cost. And I thank the Most High for the sacrifice of Jesus the Messiah, for his blood. Mother Carol used to always stand up back in the day when we had 30 people or so. And she would testify the same way every time. I would admire it, and I didn't understand it. And she would say, I testify that Jesus Christ is my Savior. And she would testify of his blood and how he died for her and for the remission of her sins. And she would say it every time at the beginning of every testimony. I'm sure she can still recite it to this day. I can't say it verbatim. It's just not coming to my mind. But I watch her pattern in speaking it. And she says she wanted to have that confession so ready on her lips and in her heart, that if a bullet were to be beside of her head, if a gun were beside of her temple to deny the Father, she would pray that she could speak those words that she had practiced. And that was beautiful. That was beautiful. So I testify the same thing. Jesus is my Messiah, that he died for me. Hallelujah. And that if I do not deny him in this life, he will not deny me in the life to come. I'd like to mention my husband. Hallelujah. He has a handful of young men that he mentors. I know a lot of us have, you know, busy lives, and the dynamic of the ministry and connections and relationships are really beautiful. I consider all of you, you know, the behind the scenes, everything you do, everything to make your communities work, your homes work, your Sabbath days, your fellowships, your eatings, your hangouts, your live nights, you know. But as for my husband, he's always done a lot of things, as all of you do, behind the scenes. He has a handful of men, you know, and young men even, young men, under even the age of 20 or so. that watch him, you know, that he mentors. We had Isaiah here, you know, on the land, beautiful young man, Carlisle. Of course, you got Jaden and Malik. You know, Carlisle being 15 years old, stayed with us for 2 months, and it's amazing. It's absolutely miraculous that he could come out of public school and be that pure-minded in nature and heart for the Most High. That alone is the Father, and I give him all the glory. For the women in the room tonight, Tammy, Cheyenne, Nadia, Sayana, that too is a miracle, that you would have such a evil and adulterous world in front of you, but yet choose to serve the Most High Yah with fear and purity in your hearts and save your bodies. It's absolutely amazing, impressive, and to Yah be all the praise. So my husband, you know, he'll answer questions with he'll deal with life lessons, you know, as a father to his children, Bible lessons, you know, the discipline, the diligence, even returning phone calls, just playing his part, you know, doing what he can behind the scenes to support. His submission is really commendable. And, you know, our shepherd is a strength to many, many men. Of course, he's a father and a husband. And you'll never know, my sisters, you'll never know that delicate balance between being a father and a husband and a mentor and a trainer and a leader, you know. There's something continually pulling on you and you wanting to be the best and do the best that you can be in this one short life that you have. So I commend our shepherd who practices patience. I pray that your hands are held high and never brought low, Pastor. And to Nellie and Summer, bless you for enduring all the saints and continuing to love. And to Mother for being a mother. Bless y'all. I want to also give an acknowledgement to the single mothers without a covering, without a head, without a man that may listen to us. You're never forgotten. You're not overlooked. You're not forgotten. You know, you may not have the biblical family structure. I care. I do. I have compassion. I do in my heart. I know there are more like me. Please don't let that void create any defraudment or entitlement in your ears when you're listening to us. I pray the Most High meet your every need, and I pray that you see how he meets your every need without what you're looking for, right? Without the needs you're looking for. Blessed be the Most High Yah, his feast days are coming up. Bless the aged women, Mama Lily. Bless you, Granny Ruth. Hallelujah. Grandma Barb and Mother Carol, Mama Zha Zha, Mama Muncie, Mama JC, there's more, Mama Tawana, there's more. Bless y'all, bless y'all. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening to all the communities that may be gathered around, to my sisters who gather in homes or in fellowships to listen to tonight, or whether you catch this on repeat, I do hope that encourages you just to hear our voice. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, share your heart.
Yes, ma'am. I just want to acknowledge the Most High Yah, first and foremost. Sister Ashley, you talked about him meeting our needs, and that's what really stands out to me. The Most High meeting every single need in my life, whether I realized it was a need or not. It was always according to his holiness, according to his righteousness, and according to his will. I'm thankful for his covering, his protection, his faithfulness, his loving commitment towards us. And it's just an honor to belong to him and to know that I belong to him and to understand how I am to conduct myself because of that, because I have an identity. I know who I belong to, and I know how to conduct myself. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for being such a sound strength in my life. I was listening to the interview, and you know, I think it really shocked me when he talked about the frequency of, you know, how many times he would check a text message or respond to a message or, you know, take a call or any type of activity that required, you know, some type of response on his phone. And he said it was every 4 minutes. And I couldn't even fathom that. So I'm thankful that he loves his lot in life. I never hear him complain at all. I never see him crumble at all. He's just a faithful man who trusts the Most High Yah and desires to serve our shepherd. And finally, to our shepherd, Pastor Dow, you know, I've thought about what Elder talked about. Every 4 minutes, I couldn't imagine what Pastor Dow's phone looks like, you know, what his lot looks like, for keeping us informed, always considering the people. I know that, you know, the man of Yah has to be very busy, but thank you, Pastor, for loving us enough to keep us informed, for speaking the truth of Yah, allowing Yah to use you, allowing yourself to serve the people, serve Yah by serving the people, for the physical labor that you do, and for the example that your family is, your wives, your son, everyone. Blessings to you, Pastor Dow, and to your entire family. That's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Well, we must do the countdown. If you're new to listening, check out Leviticus 23. It's our feast days. It's our people. It's our culture, our traditions. It's a part of us. It's what we do yearly. We keep the feast of the Most High Yah, our holy days. Feast of Trumpets coming up in 30 days. 30 days, Feast of Trumpets. Feast of Atonement, 39, 40 days. Feast of Tabernacles, 46. I remember last week, little Judith, she's 7, she says, I wonder why everyone's talking about the Feast of Tabernacles when Trumpets and Atonement comes before that. I said, you know what? That's right. We're going to glorify the Feast of Trumpets. That's what's coming next. And it's really because we have so many visitors and so many guests, so we try to really dialogue about that feast the most. But I thought it was interesting that she said, it's not the next one. You know, why are we skipping them? So it's a beautiful dialogue her and I have, as well as her, myself and all the children here. Hey, did anyone and everyone catch the Philippines listen to this Pastor Dow video? Mother Jennifer, did you catch it?
I did, Sister Ashley. I did. And, again, I'm so thankful to have a shepherd who will be able to weed through all the misinformation and give us the truth. But if you have not listened, if you have not heard it, you need to definitely watch that video. A lot of information being put out about things that are going on across the pond and things that will definitely be coming to us very soon. But, you know, our shepherd's been talking about these things for decades, Sister Ashley. Is you know, and these things are finally, we're finally starting to see them coming down the line. So they are coming. Sister Ashley?
They are coming. It's fearful, not in a tormenting way. I do want to acknowledge my shepherd for being obedient to the Most High Yah. You know, the devil may not like us exalting the order of Yah, the men of Yah, the shepherd of Yah, our husbands. You know, I get tired of hearing Elder Rufus's name. You know, get tired of hearing Elder Mitch's name. Get tired of Dow Lights, right? So the devil might have his agenda, but we can't say thank you enough. We can't say thank you enough. You know, I have a husband because of him. I have a family because of him. I know all praises belong to the Most High Yah. I'm not skipping the Most High Yah when I praise his shepherd, a shepherd after his own heart. You know, but I'm really thankful for, you know, the home that my husband has, the children that we have, the family that we have, the food that we have, constantly fed like kings. You know, that's why I don't deal well with conversations of complaints about the food. I have so much that's been given to me strictly because of the vision and the obedience. I can't thank them enough. I have a wood stove. I have, you know, bills paid, a house that I didn't build, you know, walls I didn't paint, water I didn't have to go pump a well for. You know, I'm very, very blessed. And even early in the show when I said, please don't ever hear with ears of defraudment. You know, when you hear communities, because it's going to be the push. It's going to be the push because the Most High Yah said, come out of her. And we're going to come out, and whether it's community chat or just coming out where you are, finding land, getting somewhere, finding a homestead, getting safe. We might say community, but we're just all coming out to be set apart. So we acknowledge him in that move. or we're going to talk about it often. It's not going to be something that ever goes away. So I pray that you're able to hear with clarity, you know. I can't imagine, you know, hey, you're in the city, you're listening, you're going to hear a certain way, you know. If you have never moved out, you never come out of her, you never homeschooled or homesteaded or canned or gardened, you're going to hear a certain way. It's not our intention to divide by any means. It's one spirit, one mind, you know, one Yah, one baptism. But at the same time, we talk this way. We don't talk down or belittle anyone that doesn't live this way at all, but we are glorifying the Most High Yah for how we abide and how we are able to obey and live this way. Hallelujah. It doesn't exclude anyone in their servitude or their submission or surrender to the Father. I pray everyone is meeting his requirements on their life. Hallelujah. Anything on that note, Mother Jennifer, anything to add?
I just wanted to say, you know, the way that we speak and the way that our men speak is a completely different dynamic. Just because you may hear the men speak a certain way, it does not give the women permission to speak in the same tone, the same way. We are to carry ourselves as women, not as men. So I just wanted to put that out there because sometimes women can, you know, tend to get a little confused regarding that. And I wanted to add, changing subjects, check out the Be a Blessing list. It's on YouTube. It's on Straightway Help Meet's channel, and it's titled Be a Blessing 2021. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Hey, can I give y'all a few, let me see. Let's go to this quick article right here. This one says, did I get rid of it? No. Philippine president warning that Filipinos who refuse to get vaccinated against the coronavirus will not be allowed to leave their homes. Can you imagine? I mean, that's up in the air. You cannot leave your home as a safeguard against the most contagious Delta variant. Are there, you know, lots of rumors, lots of talk. You know, I'm not there. I don't really know what's going on. But most definitely, this is serious stuff. As far as the countries who are considering vaccinations, you know, making them mandatory, this will impress you. Australia decided in late June to make vaccinations mandatory, especially for high-risk aged care workers and employees in hotels. In Britain, it'll be mandatory for home care workers to be vaccinated. In England, yes, starting in October, it is mandatory. In England, nightclubs and other venues with large crowds will require you to present full proof of vaccination before the end of the month of September. In Canada, they're considering whether vaccines should be required for certain roles in federal government. It's all up in the air. France, same thing. Guess what? Government said by July, mid-August, that there will be a $53,000 fine for businesses. If you are a business in France and you don't check your clients for a health pass, you can be fined $53,000. In Greece, vaccinations are mandatory for all nursing home staff and healthcare workers. So you got to start somewhere, right? And vaccinated customers are the only ones allowed in bars, movie theaters, and other confined closed spaces. In Indonesia, vaccines are mandatory, threatening up to 5 million rupiah. That would be $357 if you refuse a vaccination. And $357 every time you refuse a vaccination. Italy, the Italian government in March mandated, hey, health workers, pharmacists, it's a must. You got to get vaccinated, period. Those who refuse, you'll be suspended without pay for an entire year. Hungary's government decided to make vaccinations mandatory for all healthcare workers. Kazakhstan, same thing. Guess what? mandatory vaccinations, or if you don't want a mandatory vaccination, then just get a weekly test. We're going to test you every single week. Because guess what? As soon as you say or show that you're positive, you're going to get the vaccination. In the country of Lebanon, you got to limit your entry to all restaurants, cafes, pubs, and beaches. You got to have a vaccine certificate or take an antibody test. You must to eat, to go in a restaurant, cafe, a pub, or a beach. Non-vaccinated employees in the country of Lebanon also have to be tested within 72 hours before you can enter an establishment. Poland, same thing. I hope you're not bored. This is serious. Poland could make vaccinations mandatory for people. It's up in the air as early as August. Russia, same thing. Russia unveiled its plan. All service sector workers, they will be fully vaccinated by August the 15th. Oh, yes, they will. And in Moscow, oh, yes, to go in a cafe, restaurant, and a bar, as late as last July, you had to have a vaccine. Saudi Arabia, same thing. Malta, same thing. Saudi citizens will need 2 doses before they can travel outside the kingdom as of August 9th. 2 doses. Turkmenistan making vaccinations mandatory for all residents over the age of 18. And jumping on over here to the United States, Joe Biden says, hey, local governments, let's pay people to get vaccinated. Aren't we the ones with the most ridiculous ideas? Let's pay people to get vaccinated. So he barks out this new set of rules requiring federal workers to provide a proof of vaccination, or you will face regular testing, mask mandates, and travel restrictions. So they're going to get really into your life. New York City, you already know. It will become the first major U.S. city to require proof of vaccination for all customers and staff at restaurants, gyms, indoor businesses. As we battle the Delta variant, the new phase, New York will require state employees to be vaccinated or get tested weekly. Y'all ready to die for what you believe in? Nah, you ain't. Nope. The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey and the Metropolitan Transportation Authority requires all workers to get the vaccine or, guess what, again, get tested weekly. New Jersey state healthcare workers and employees who work in jails have to be vaccinated by September the 7th. California, same thing. Denver, same thing. People working in high-risk settings and cities, you must get vaccinated or... Hey, if you're in California, you got to undergo testing at least once a week. We're going to test you every week if you refuse our vaccination. All right? Deal. Handshake, move on, right? Keep a job, move on. Hallelujah. Teacher Shane popped in here earlier. He's on the phone with our Philippine family. Bless y'all. Bless y'all. Bless y'all. Keep the faith. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, I'm going to interview you tonight. How do you feel about that? I know you ain't got no feel about it.
I have no feel about it. Absolutely. I'm
Hallelujah.
Ready, Sister Ashley.
State your name for the listening audience.
I am Mother Jennifer, Mother Jennifer Carswell. I am the wife of Elder Rufus. Elder Rufus is over the community here in Straightway, Georgia. And we've been, I know you said state my name, but I just wanted to give a little background of who my husband is and who I am, if that's okay.
Absolutely. Continue.
Okay. My husband is Elder Rufus. Again, you may have caught the interview that was done by Michael Israel a couple days ago. We have been with the ministry for about 10 years now. And I am the woman that I am because of him. He has taught me how to be the wife that I need to be. He has taught me how to even be the sister that I need to be to other women. He's even taught me how to be the mother that I am as well. And without him, I would not be who I am. Sister Ashley?
And that's the true straight way. How did I, Ashley Bill, and you meet?
We met on our first visit to Straightway. I remember 10 years ago, Pastor did Block Talk Radio on Friday night, and you would call in and you would listen on the phone. We didn't have any knowledge of listening or, you know, watching live on the computer or anything. And I remember a couple weeks before that, Elder Rufus found Pastor Dow, and, you know, he and I had traveled looking for the saints, looking for the saints of Yah. We just knew we were looking for the saints. That's what Elder would say. You know, we're looking for the saints. We're looking for God's people. That's all we knew. We had no idea where they were. We had no idea how we would find them. But we did. We found them, found Pastor Dow's channel. I believe we were looking at a video. I think the first video I saw was about Mylar bag. I think that was the first one. And then the second one was one where Pastor was talking about how wicked women are. And I was at a point in my life where I was in the process of purging all the wickedness from myself and from my life. And it was so easy for me to receive Pastor talking about the wickedness of women because I fully understood what that meant. I fully understood what it was, and I was not offended at all. And I remember Elder watching every single video of Pastor Dowles. He contacted the ministry within that same week. Pastor said, well, you're welcome to come visit. Let us know when you're going to come, and we'll be prepared for you. And we were there that next Shabbat. So Sister Ashley, you and I met when we walked through the doors that Sabbath. I remember it was in the old tabernacle before the new extension had been put on. And I remember all the saints coming to greet us. And I specifically remember how excited Sister Ashley was. You know, she's very, very loving, very warm, very inviting. I remember meeting Sister Tomoko. I met Mother Carol. I met Granny Diane. Hoping not to leave anybody out. I probably will, so I'm not going to name everybody. But I just remember meeting the saints at that time. Sister Ashley.
Mother Jennifer, before the faith, what was your idea of marriage?
My idea of marriage was that, you know, I was going to get married and there would be a man that would pay off all my debt and I would live the American dream. We'd buy a big house and we'd have several cars and, you know, we have a dog and have some children and it would be the American dream all the way. And he would do whatever he could to make me happy. That was my idea of the ideal marriage.
Wow, that's new information for my ears. I'm over here smiling, like bound by Deuteronomy 28 and hoping for the American dream. It's humorous, right? So now, when you met Elder, now you're with Elder, okay? So let's rewind some years. You're with him. What was your first idea of him?
My first idea of him, I think what really stood out for me regarding Elder was how much faith he had, you know, how much faith he operated in. And I remember thinking that his thought pattern was way different than anything I had experienced before, but he was so wise and I was so drawn to him because of his faith. You know, he would tell me his experiences, he would share his testimony with me, and I was just so drawn at his faith and his obedience to the Most High. I was also drawn to the fact that he did not care about what other people thought. He had no cares about, you know, what everybody else was doing. He was very determined and he was very driven. He was very focused on making sure that he was obeying Yah. And that really drew me to him, the determination and his faith. And I could see the reward of Yah in his life because of his obedience and because of his faith. I remember, Sister Ashley, seeing so many marriages around me fail, so many marriages crumble. I had friends who had gone through divorces and, you know, they were devastated and, you know, just going through all these custody battles. And I had friends who were single and who vowed never to get married. And, you know, I was surrounded by some women who were just bitter against men and did not trust men. And I remember thinking, this is a man that I know that I can trust. Sister Ashley.
All right. So when and in the early years in the beginnings with Elder Rufus, did you have a lot of possessions?
In the early years, when we got married, Sister Ashley, we did. We had a lot of possessions when we first got married. And I remember him kind of prepping me and you know, telling me about the book of Acts and how those that believed, you know, they sold all their possessions. Now, he had already done that. He had already sold all his possessions before we got married. But then I had, you know, well, I had these things that I called possessions, but it was, you know, just a bunch of objects that needed to be let go, things that needed to be sold, things that we gave away, and ideas that I needed to part with. So I guess you could say I had a lot of possessions, but those were things that we got rid of within about 2 months of getting married, 2 or 3 months. We had gotten rid of a lot. We had gotten rid of everything. So everything that we owned after we got married within about a 2 to 3 month period, everything we owned could fit in the trunk of our vehicle. So we had no ties to anything, no ties to worldly possessions at all. Sister Ashley.
Wow, very impressive. So for as two minds really that would be listening, let's say, for those who are coming out, it's the mind that's similar, that says, okay, I have all these things, possessions, et cetera. Maybe they're downsizing, right? Maybe someone listening is downsizing, packing, leaving, moving, and they're relating. Or maybe on the flip side, someone listening is saying, I'm expecting my husband to have more than we have. You know, belittling him in his little. Was there ever a moment where living with less was a struggle for you?
It actually was not. It was very freeing once we had gotten rid of, you know, all the, I call it clutter now, but once we got rid of all those things, I learned what freedom really was, because I was able to get rid of debt. I was able to get rid of things, objects that tied me to memories from people that I was connected with that I did not need to be connected with anymore. I've never been a sentimental person, so it was easy to get rid of those things, but I can't say it never crossed my mind, you know, that I was bothered, that I didn't have the objects, that I didn't have those things, because once I started to actually obey what the word said, I think that helped, that I understood what the word said. I had an understanding. And Elder was very patient. You know, I was a woman, Sister Ashley, that celebrated every single pagan holiday, you know, except for Halloween. I didn't, because I was a Christian, so Halloween was wicked in my eyes. But right. Every other holiday, I celebrated every other holiday for Christmas. You know, I'd have a Christmas tree in every, almost every room, you know, strategically placed, decorated really nicely. I'd have family members over. I cooked for everybody, and it was just something that I held on to. But once I started to see what the word said about those days and how pagan they are, how unholy they are, and Yah started revealing his truth, I realized how those things were tying me to something that I did not need to be tied to. So the less I had, you know, the more we got rid of, the less we had, the happier we were. I remember that there were times when, you know, we would just kind of look at each other and, you know, we would smile because we knew, you know, we ain't got nothing. We ain't got nothing but each other, and we got Yah. And those were some of the happiest moments. Sister Ashley?
It sounds like it. All right, so now you live in a place, in a community, in one home with other saints, and even on Elder Rufus's interview, he mentioned you can't even count the brothers. You know, he said maybe there's 20, maybe there's 30, almost 40, 35, right? He's like, now we got some brothers. So he mentioned the brothers and the sisters. You all dwell together in unity. Not everyone that is mentioned in that number, but you have a community now. So you have, yes, less earthly possessions that you would call your own, but you're actually living in a dynamic where no man has anything that he calls his own. Is that correct? Talk about it.
That is correct. And, you know, we kind of joke around. With, I want to say that I think that the saints that we live with here in Georgia really understand the all things common dynamic, you know. If there's something that is needed and someone else has it, I can say that this group of individuals that I live with here has no problem giving you what you need. I'm trying to explain it to those who are not familiar with it, but you know, it's a dynamic where the men go out and work and, they bring their money and put it all in one pot. And the community is taken care of by the system, the one-pot system. So anybody who has a need, their needs are met. It's not that, you know, you're just going to do without. If there's a need, it's always met. Sometimes it has to be determined if that need is really a need or if it's something that you just desire that you refuse to wait on. You know, I have desires that are met. We have saints in the house who have desires that are met as well. So it's not an oppressive environment at all. It's actually a very freeing thing. When people move to the community, we have a rule that whatever does not fit in your space, whatever does not fit in your personal room or whatever you're given, it cannot be kept. Because what you don't want to do is disrespect the space of your brothers and sisters and clutter it up. Because it's not fair to them. So it really causes you to decrease, it causes you to purge, and it causes you to get rid of things and not hold on to things that are not needed. We don't put stuff in storage that's unnecessary. If I got a box of clothes that can't fit in my room, I don't put it in storage. You know, it needs to fit in my bedroom. And so there's an accountability level there. And it causes everybody to reevaluate what they have. You know, do I really need this or can I get rid of it? Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Sounds like, and I know it does, humble you, and it humbles every one of you. If you end up having less, you will want less. And so for those who have not experienced having less, they might not understand the want is not there. So let's jump to you and Pastor. Was there anything that you needed to get over about what he says or how he preached or how he said it or the tone or the truth in any way? Was there something you had to get over?
Again, in the beginning, it was very freeing to hear about the wickedness of women. But one thing that I did have to deal with in my heart was, you know, the value of women. I didn't understand fully my value, and I didn't understand the value of women. So when Pastor would talk about, you know, the book about how wicked women are, then there would be this condemnation that I'd have to fight. you know, this condemnation about that would say women are worthless, women are not valued. And it was nothing coming out of pastor's mouth. It was in the hearing. And I remember saying to the father, you know, Father, why even create women if we're so, oh my goodness, we're so wicked. You know, we just don't change. We're so wicked. And I remember Yah showing me my value, you know, showing me who I was through his eyes and in his word. And you know, when I started to listen to the man of Yah, I started to really hear the love that he has for the daughters of Zion. I started to hear the love and not the rejection that I had been operating in. It was the rejection that was coming from my heart, and it was not rejection coming from the mouth of the man of Yah. And I want to say that's the trick of the devil. That's what he wants you to hear. He wants you to hear that you're rejected. He wants you to hear that you have no value, that it's just all about men. And that's not true. It's not true at all. If you change your hearing, you will be able to receive the truth for what it is. But you have to change your hearing, and you have to change your heart. Sister Ashley.
I agree that you must find your value in Yah's eyes. And I agree with your statement that you said it's all in the hearing. I also would probably throw out a pretty powerful ratio to say 100% of all women have dealt with that. Okay, so maybe not her or her. Okay, 99.9999 then have all dealt with the maturing of the hearing. So it's going to be a tactic of the enemy against our shepherd probably for years to come. The accusations against him and how he speaks towards or against women coming, of course, straight from the Word and the Bible. But if you don't find your peace and your value in Yah, then you'll never hear with love. You speak as a mother, and you are. You've been selected to be a mother. You have the heart of a mother. It's something Yah has done. You have also had the anointing oil placed upon you for the burden and the yoke of the daughters of Zion. So that means a lot of what you feel or what you may experience or discern can't be understood or shared with daughters. Daughters aren't mothers. Mothers aren't daughters. But share with us, what has been your heart's meditation recently, today, this week, this past month, about the ministry or the women in general?
The women in general, you know, I want to say that I truly do have great love in my heart for the women, for the daughters of Zion. I truly do understand what you deal with. I understand what you battle with. But I think the burden, the major burden is that, you know, how women are so fixed and convinced in their mind that things are a certain way. You know, especially when you've been listening to what the enemy is pouring into you, what he's telling you, what, you know, what he's trying to tempt you with. Women get so convinced in their mind that this is true, and you're just trying to come along and really, you know, steer their hearing, steer their minds in the right direction. And sometimes it's very difficult when you walk away from a conversation and you know that this daughter, she doesn't understand. She doesn't get it. But if we really, truly just applied ourselves and laid down our will, I think we would understand a whole lot more than what we are comprehending. But it's a matter of the will. And I think that that's really on my heart a lot for the daughters of Zion is the, I don't want to say the inability to lay down the will, but it is the lack of desire, the refusal to just really lay down the will, because women believe that they're going to lose something, you know, and you are. You are. You're going to lose that old woman. But I don't know why we hold on to that old woman so much. And that is what that's what rings in my heart a lot, the lack of desire to just lay down our will and let that will go and lose that old woman and overcome the fear of thinking that you're not going to know who you are. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Overcoming your will, daughters, sisters, overcoming your will is something you do, you and you alone. That's why it seems like such an impossibility. There is no one to help you do that. None. So we have communities now where women are teaming up, living together, bonding, growing, ironing iron, you know, sharpening. Bridget, Bation, Bree, Erica Polidor, Betty, Shalea, Sister Chris, all of them being the names that come to mind with, you know, women having the liberty to oversee the projects that other women do. What can you say to them that is a good thing? What would you commend them for?
Are you meaning the women who oversee other women, Sister Ashley?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
You know, I want to commend them for loving women when it's not easy. Loving women when it's made hard, it's made tough, but really staying and remaining who you are, you know, regardless of the resistance that you may receive. I think we have to understand that, you know, a lot of women, they come from the world. They come from broken homes. They come from abusive relationships. They come from so much trauma. And if we look at it through those eyes, then we would continue to love and not take things personal. So I want to commend them for loving when it seems tough to love and not taking things personally and committing to really serve Yah by loving a woman who may not know how to love you back, regardless, just committing in your heart, I'm going to love. That's what I'm commanded to do. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. And to the women who are supporting those women or living with those women and abiding with those women, what can you say to them to commend them or to charge them with?
You know, I want to charge them with understanding and knowing that you can either help or you can make it difficult. Don't choose to make it difficult. You know, understand that these women have not asked for this position. They have not asked to be in this position at all, but they were the ones that are chosen to be in this position. So help them. Help them along the way. Submit to them. Even if there's something that you think is not right, still take it patiently. You know, be patient and just help them along the way. Let Yah be your advocate. Even if something is not right, allow Yah to be your advocate instead of always speaking up for yourself, always feeling like you must defend yourself. It is not necessary. Like Elder said, righteousness never needs to be defended. So be righteous. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I enjoy always hearing the support that you have for Elder and how you speak his quotes. He did an interview, as we said before, with Brother Michael Israel in Spiritual Combat. And something that has stuck out to me, and I'm going to ask you about your heart's meditation in a minute because I threw that word out there earlier, but something that stuck out to me has been a heart's meditation for me since Elder's interview. Because, of course, he read out of Romans, and he talked about charity. He talked about love. And I know that the way he said it is not going to be the way I say it to you, but it is through his dynamic of speaking that the Ruach really hit me. in the area that you can't serve, then that means you can't love. The thing that you can't do, it's the area that you don't love enough to do it. And love for me has really, really been a ponder since that interview. I asked you earlier, and I mixed up the question, but I said to you, what has been your heart's meditations? And I jumped over to the lead women. But so let's take the lead women off of the question and say, what have you been pondering? What has been your heart's meditation from any word or any video, from any preaching or lesson, Mother Jennifer?
Obedience, Sister Ashley, really obedience. You know, we are charged to love. We are. Sometimes we joke around and elder will say, you know, I don't like you, but I love you. And so we just kind of laugh it off. But, again, you don't have to like somebody, but you are charged to love them. So if you're charged to love somebody, then you're going to, again, not take things personally. You're going to love them not based on anything that they've done. You're going to love them not according to if you think they deserve to be loved or not. You're going to love them because you're charged to love them. So it has nothing to do with anybody else at all. You know, you don't wake up in the morning and say, oh, let me see if my sister warrants love today. Let me see if she's deserving of my love today. And I know I'm, you know, being sarcastic, but that's what we do. That's what we do in our behavior. That's what we do in our minds and our actions. We don't say it, but that's what we end up doing. Let me see if you're worthy of my love today. Let me see if you say the things that I want to hear today. Let me see if you do the things that I want you to do today. Then you love me. But that's not that's just not how it goes. Sometimes love will require you to do things that are uncomfortable, to have uncomfortable conversations with another sister. Sometimes if she's not seeing things in the right way, in the right eye, then you're going to be required to love her enough to talk to her about it, to try to help her out and to correct her thinking. Love is going to be inconvenient at times. You might have set in your mind things that you desire to do that particular day, but love is going to have different requirements for you. So just really obeying the command to love. Sister Ashley.
2 million Americans. I'm going a different way. 2 million Americans are transgender or non-conforming. You know, I'm not a he or a she or a him or a... 2 million Americans. So we came out. We came out of her. And now we abide together with men and women that say the Messiah is our Messiah, his blood is our blood, and spirit is the way to go. So we shed natural families. And was there ever a time that walking away from your natural family had any pain, Mother Jennifer?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Sister Ashley. You know, I remember that, you know, our family, we were a very close family growing up. We had our share of dysfunctions, but we were still pretty close. And I remember coming into the knowledge of the Sabbath. And I had always, you know, been raised Baptist, and, you know, I've been raised in first day doctrine, you know, just period. It was about Sunday. And I remember when I had made the decision to break away from Sunday worship, and my first thought, this was my first thought, when I realized that it was the truth, this was my first thought, what's my family going to think? You know, I was so tied to my family that was my first thought. I was concerned about what they would think. And then I remember playing in my mind what I told God, if you show me your truth, I'll obey it. And so after that, it was not a thought, but I knew that I knew it would divide us. And so the division has been, you know, it had been a gradual thing. It wasn't right away completely, but I remember when my life changed and I started to wear my head covering and wear my skirts, and, you know, that right there made a lot of people uncomfortable. They didn't understand holiness. They had no idea at all. You could tell people wanted to ask questions, but they never did because they were afraid that I'd be offended. I even said if they had questions, they could ask if they wanted to, but they never did. So we would conversate, you know, I would conversate with certain family members. I have a natural-born son. We would have conversations, and we still do from time to time. We might talk maybe 3 times in 1 year, something like that. But you just get to a point where you don't have much to talk about anymore. And so there's no pain associated with the separation. It just, it is what it is. I'm not angry with anyone. I'm not upset with anyone. I know that I am living a completely different life than what they live, and we have nothing in common at all. My son has children, so I have 2 grandchildren. He has a wife, and, you know, we conversate a little bit, but I haven't even met the second grandchild. I've met the first one. I've seen him 1 time. The second one I have not seen at all. I don't call and check up. You know, I don't say, what are his first words? Is he walking yet? I don't go through any of that. Not to sound cold or hard or anything. I'm not bitter. It just is what it is. And I want to say that there are so many children here. I realize that, you know, I gave that up. I gave that relationship up in the world. And I have children here who I call grandchildren. You know, children that I was a part of helping in their birth, and I call them grandchildren. And I realize that these are the ones that are laboring with me, that are doing the work with me. We share the same beliefs. We have all things common. And so, yes, there was pain in the beginning, but now there's not. Sister Ashley?
Very well put together. So I shared the ratio of 2 million Americans are transgender. Why? Why would I share that? Well, you know, a ratio that we'll never have, Google will never provide, is how many moms are masculine, how many dads are effeminate. Because that gender reversal is universal and is drastically affecting cultures across the globe. Can I say globe? Across the pancake. I want to hear from you about your role. Why is that not offensive to even hear that your husband has a role and you have a role?
You know, it helps to understand your role because there's no confusion that can come in. You know, I'm not confused about the fact that I'm a woman. I'm not confused about the role of what a wife is. You know, I'm not confused about my husband's role at all. We both understand our roles very well. So there's no confusion about our genders. It's very important to understand that, because when you allow confusion to come in, then that's when the devil can come in. That's when chaos can come in. So I understand very well what my role is, and my husband supports me in my role fully, and he understands his role, and I support him in his role fully. And so we just, you know, I guess you can call it a mutual agreement, you know, from the world's terms, if that's what they want to say. It's a mutual agreement. We understand very well, even when we go out places. And, you know, sometimes you notice when you go out places that people are so used to addressing the woman first. You know, they want to try to appease the woman because they believe that the woman can sway the husband's mind in whatever. They always look to the woman. They always want to make the woman laugh and always look I always look at my husband, and I wait for his response, because I'm not going to show disrespect just because someone else doesn't understand, you know, what the value of knowing your role is. I'm not going to allow someone to bring confusion in our home at all. So I always look at him first so that he can respond first, because that's the order. If they joke and say, well, you know, she's the boss, and I quickly correct them. No, no, sir, no, ma'am. He is the one. He's the boss. I don't want to be the boss. And so I think it's important to know your role. And even when people, you know, jokingly try to speak things over your marriage, try to speak confusion over the role or the value of keeping order and roles, it's very important to make sure that you correct them on the spot. Sister Ashley.
I've followed Pasta for about 15 years, and it's through my hearing and hearing him that I have any knowledge of storing up food or buying silver. He used to speak of racial wars in the end of days, in my early years, long before it was ever manifest on earth. That's the truth. It wasn't from the hearing of a YouTube video or the doctrine of another teacher that he would speak from. He would also even speak of Yah calling men out of the NFL way before we saw it, years before we saw it. But for me, I heard storing up through him. I heard silver through him. I heard this through him. Maybe that's not everyone's story, because now so many coming out, last day laborers, have heard many things before through many teachers, many videos, much confusion. For you, Mother Jennifer, what is your hearing commitment like now that you have an agreement with the Father and a shepherd?
The hearing commitment, Sister Ashley, is, you know, it's not enough to just hear, but you have to actually do. So you have to be committed to hear, and you have to be committed to actually obey. So our pastor is very wise. He speaks about, you know, so many different subjects that we must know. And, you know, coming into, like, even the knowledge about food storage, you know, something's coming down the line. Now we didn't see it 10 years ago. You know, you just knew something was coming. So, again, you have to have a commitment to hear and to actually act on that. So we started storing food, you know, continue to store food. And you can't allow your faith to fade when you're hearing. Doubt is going to try to come in, but you can't even give doubt a place at all. You can't be stagnant in your hearing. As Pastor says, you got to continue to keep your cutting edge. Just like when, you know, when you first come into the faith and you're on fire, you know, you have to keep that. So you have to keep the commitment to not only hear, but to actually obey it and not allow that to slip. Sister Ashley.
What do you admire about the young women that are coming to the faith?
I admire about the young women that are coming to the faith the fact that they have been given ears to hear at such a young age. You know, I think about my younger years, and I wasn't even thinking about holiness at all. I was a hypocrite. I thought that, you know, I could put on a show and show that I was being holy, but Yah knew. He definitely knew. But, you know, these young daughters that are coming into the faith, there's no hypocrisy at all. There's actually a desire to be holy. They have been given ears to hear, and they have a desire to follow. I'm in awe at the fact that the Father has protected so many at a young age and has brought them in. Even the virgins, you know, the fact that the virgins have a place to be kept safe. It's like a secret place where they can be kept safe and their holiness and their purity can be preserved, whereas in the world they have not been given that opportunity. So I am I love the fact that the commitment that they have made at such a young age to not commit to foolishness, but to actually commit to righteousness and the holiness, and to even be examples to not only other young daughters of Zion, but even those who are older than them. You know, there's a level of maturity that I see in them that I just, I truly, truly love. Sister Ashley.
I'm going to turn around. I'm going to ask a question. How old are you?
20.
How old are you?
18.
How old are you? 21. Can I ask y'all a question? Anonymous, of course. Yes. Do you see examples in the ministry of how you need to be?
Yes.
Yes? Three yeses. Can you say it a little louder?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Do you see examples of who you shouldn't be like?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you say it a little louder?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Mother Jennifer, how can you direct young women 13, 14, 15, 18, 20, 21, 24, if she's not married? How can you direct them when you know that there are two ways presented to them? How can you direct them to keep themselves focused on their identity and who they should be in the Messiah without veering off and becoming like the bad examples?
Well, there's always going to be a righteous example, and there's always going to be an unrighteous example, unrighteous behavior. And so I think, you know, the key is to make sure that you are searching your heart. Search your heart. If you have foolishness in your own heart, then you're going to gravitate to someone who is foolish as well. If you have a desire to be holy and a desire to be righteous, then you're going to desire to be with that person that's holy and that person that's righteous. So make sure that you check what's in your heart first and foremost. You know, sometimes you might run into situations with other women, other young daughters of Zion, where you notice that, man, she's always in trouble. She's always this. She's always that. She's always talking back. She's always, you know what's not right. So if you see that example in somebody and, you know, I'm not saying that it's somebody that's just getting corrected once or twice, but somebody who is continually going against the wisdom, of how we should conduct ourselves, then that is somebody that you know you don't need to be around. If you're always with somebody and you notice that, you know, this foolish behavior is always coming out in me when I'm with this person, then check that first in your heart. You know, see if it's something in you or if it's something that's gravitating to that other person that just has foolishness in them. Maybe, you know, there's some areas that you just need to step back and take the time to actually mature and get around the ones who are mature. You know, get around the ones who will challenge you. Sometimes we choose the path of least resistance because we know that if I hang with, you know, Sister so-and-so, Sister Homie, or whatever you want to call it, if I hang with her, then she's going to tell me whatever I want to hear. But if I hang with this one, she's always correcting me. She's always rebuking me. Well, that's the one that you need to be with, the one that is going to love you enough to make sure that you mature into who you need to be, you know. And it's going to be balanced. A mature woman is always going to have a balanced approach. If she's correcting you, she's going to do it in a way to where she's going to come back and encourage you as well. You know, she's not just going to beat you up continually and just feed you a bunch of condemnation so that you walk around broken all the time. She's going to lift you up and she's going to build you up, and she's going to desire to see you be the woman that you need to be. She's going to desire to see you mature. And she's going to actually be happy when she sees that maturity coming out of you. She's going to rejoice with you. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. All right, we're going to hit a music break. If you have a question for Mother Jennifer, send your email to straightwayhelpmeets, all lowercase, straightwayhomies@gmail.com. I'll take them after the music break. Please, send your emails. Hear from the woman who stays in the background on the sister show. Tonight, she speaks. Hallelujah. Be right back, Mother Jennifer. Thank you so much. Beautiful music break. All right, we got a question. So, Mother Jennifer, you live with the saints. Hallelujah. Everything's not easy. When you set yourself apart and you come to the Most High, Yah, find it not a strange thing that trials and afflictions have come your way. How do you keep continual growth in your mind? How do you keep the fire and you don't let it burn out?
I always remain thankful that I have been given the opportunity to live with the saints. You know, I always remain thankful. I always remember where I've come from, you know, what he's brought me from, the environment that I was in. And I always thank him. Father, thank you for allowing me to live with the saints. Thank you for allowing me to live with people who love you, people who are trying, people who desire your righteousness, people who desire your kingdom. You know, we've even had people who started off with us who are not with us anymore. And I think the very first departure for us was a tough one. It was really tough because we couldn't fathom, you know, this is a brother that started with us. You know, why is he desiring to go back? It was a really tough thing, and I remember we wept, and you know, you could tell that the separation had taken place before he even left, and it was a difficult thing. And I remember after that, I remember elder saying is it's not going to be the last one. You know, Straightway has experienced this, and this is not going to be the last one. So we might as well gird ourselves up and just be prepared. He said some people are not going to be committed to the end. And so I always thank Yah giving me a mind to really hear him, a clear mind that can really obey and hear him, a mind that's not fragmented, you know, a mind that's not confused. I always thank him for that. And I always really understand the fact that if I reject the love of his truth, that I could be turned over to strong delusion, you know. So I think remaining thankful in everything and knowing where you've come from, knowing where he's brought you from, really helps a lot. Remaining thankful, no matter what's going on, you know, no matter how tough it is, no matter how hard it is. I remember this week I was counseling with a sister in another community, and they're really going through some tough things. And I remember telling her, I said, just watch. This is going to bring y'all so much closer. I said, y'all are going to be so much more mature, and you are going to be so much closer after this. I know it's tough to see right now, but just hang in there and hold on and remain thankful. And for that, whatever spirit of heaviness is trying to come in, just make sure that you're always praising Yah. And that's what's brought us through here, you know, because we've always grown close. We've always been unified during the times that seem tough. We just get closer together. So it's like, okay, the more the devil throws at us, the closer we're going to get. So that encourages me as well. Sister Ashley?
To the email, Shalom, Mother and Sister, my question is, what are some things you can tell us sisters that are not around any other sister to help us grow? What are some things you recommend for us to do? Mother?
If you're not around other sisters, make sure that you are connected through, we have the email, straightwayhelpmeets@gmail.com. We have the YouTube channel, the Straightway Help Meets YouTube channel. Make sure you're listening to everything that's being put out by the ministry. There's so much information where if you're not physically around the sisters, then you can still be around the sisters in other ways. You can still hear mature women ministering to you. You know, you can pick up the phone and you can call the dining hall. You know, you can call the community here in Georgia. You can stay connected. I do give the number out to the community here, and I tell sisters who are by themselves, if you just want to talk to a sister here, you'll get holy conversation, just call. You can speak with anyone that lives here, and you will get holy, righteous conversation. So stay connected any way you can, and the more connected you are, the more wisdom you're going to receive, and the more challenge you'll actually get. And then you'll start to think, okay, well, nobody's around, but who am I when no one's around? Am I still going to be exhibiting the same righteous behavior even though no one can physically see me? And so it, you can still be held accountable to that level. Sister Ashley.
Next question. How do you know when to ask for help? Did you have a time when you didn't know what and when to ask?
Yes, there are times. For me personally, I'll say early on in my walk, I remember I asked for help, you know, like all the time. If something came up and I didn't understand, I'd ask for help. I'd go to Elder, I'd call Ashley, I'd call Mother Carol, call Granny Diane, you know, it was anything. Hey, I need to understand this. Help me understand this. And over time, you know, it was like the Father matured me to a point where there's some things you go through where people are not going to have the answers for you because they haven't walked in your shoes in that particular area. They're not going to have an answer for you. And so those are the times when you know, okay, this is just a moment when I need to wait and see what Yah develops, see what he says, see what he does in me. This is something that, you know, is just between me and Yah. So you'll start to know the things that you need to ask help for, but it doesn't hurt to ask for help. You know, you've got women who are who have walked this thing out. It does not hurt to ask for help, and you'll get wisdom on what you need to do. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. If you're resistant to asking for help because you're embarrassed or you think that, you know, maybe it's a stupid question you have or whatever, ask it, and we'll let you know. You know, sister, this is what you need to do. You just need to hold on tight, you know, but be prepared to receive the answer. There's nothing wrong with asking a question. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Let's take a small break for a moment from Mother Jennifer. I got to read this email. This one I just now read. My beloved Carlisle, who left, right, gone for 2 months. I missed this email. I hadn't got it yet, so I'm going to read it to y'all. Shalom, my sister. Blessings to your master's household. I want to thank you and Deacon for allowing Carlisle to stay with you. Pause. Y'all remember when I said some are wanting their children to stay here?
Yes.
Sakina says yes. No, we don't invite children to stay here. Like, it's not a common thing. Young men with a great heart that are able to work or help or learn or grow or mature, that might be different. You might see that more, you know, I don't know, with the Bell House, with any house. I don't know. But no, as far as, it's kind of like when the community opened up and pastors doing videos and everyone starts calling saying, I ain't got nowhere to go, you know. So they start hauling their livelihood in the back of their car and traveling here. That happened. That's not how it is. That's not how it works. A lot of people still call. When they first hear us, they think that, you know, they hear with fear, they hear with reverence, they hear with excitement, feelings, and they want to come run into the vision and pack up everything. So, hey, just stand still, right? Back to the email. Thank you to our shepherd, Deacon Bell, and all the brothers for pouring into him. Thank you, Sister Ashley, all the sisters that helped take care of him. He came back a different young man, humbled, more confident, and so grateful. He can't stop talking about his time on the land. It's exciting to hear about all the things he learned, all the fun he had. The stories about the bellboys cracked me up. He really loved working with the brothers. It was such a wonderful experience for him. Being around real family, having the opportunity to be a part of community was such a blessing for him and has been so encouraging for him. Big shout out to Pastor Dow, Deacon Bell, Brother Bud, Brother Scott, Brother Nate, Brother Ray. There's not enough English words to express how much we appreciate the saints. Blessings to Ashley, blessings to the household of Deacon Bell. Much love to you and all the family of Straightway Hub. I secretly call Straightway Jerusalem. And Mama Tawana, you get that stamp. You are the first one. So if anyone else comes behind you, I'll let them know. We love you, Carlisle. You know he ain't listening. Maybe he hears his mom listening. Maybe he'll walk by her room. We love you, Carlisle. You're going to be a man one day. Let's see. Who else wants to hear from Mother Jennifer? Let's see. She says, how can I become a part of the ministry? Mother?
You obey, first and foremost. We don't have a church membership. You know, it's not like the churches that you see in the world. If you are obeying his commandments, then you belong to the Father. You belong to Yah. Make yourself known to the ministry so that you can get connected with fellowship. So you can call the dining hall and you can get connected with someone who might be in your area and you can fellowship with them on a regular basis. But the main thing is obey. Listen to every word that comes out of the man of Yah's mouth and obey. Read your word, follow it, and listen to our shepherd and obey. Sister Ashley?
Next question. Shalom, Mother. My master's house is growing even more, and since I got pregnant, my mood and my thoughts have changed to really bad thoughts. Do you have any prayers, scripture, or things that I can say to cast these thoughts down, Mother?
You know, Sister Ashley, I remember when you were pregnant, and I remember when I was pregnant, and I think we were pregnant at the same time. But I remember us talking about, you know, pregnancy, things that happen in pregnancy. Some of it's hormonal, and some of it is things that we just think we should be doing. You know, we think that our hormones should be going crazy, or we think that we should be craving things all the time, or we, you know, just things that we think. And sometimes, you know, your hormones do factor into those things, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes it could be a spiritual thing. I remember getting deliverance while I was pregnant. I remember you getting deliverance while I was pregnant. I remember you helping me with deliverance while we were pregnant. And it's a really sensitive time where you have to discern your thoughts. If you get deliverance while you're pregnant, you have to make sure that you're with someone who is experienced, someone who truly knows what they're doing in helping you with that deliverance. But, you know, whatever thoughts you're having, you know, whatever bad thoughts you're having, I'm not sure because it wasn't really specific, but whatever thoughts you're having, you find the scripture to combat that. And so you're going to have to get really aggressive in fighting these thoughts so that they don't take over your heart. You know, is it something that's in your heart? Do you believe that is true? You know, is there some truth in it somewhere that you have believed and is coming out more now that you're a little more emotional, you know, because of hormones? So those are things that I would ask myself. I would actually start there. And if you want to go a little more in depth, you can email and I can answer after the show. Sister Ashley?
Hey, sound good. When your flesh is weak through pregnancy or anything you have going on, it's a chance for your spirit to soar. So when your flesh is weak, don't drag your spirit down with it. That's a chance for spiritual maturity. And you can tell by the way Mother spoke, deliverance, deliverance, deliverance. Loaded. My sisters, you're loaded. You're loaded. Why do I know you're loaded? Because I was loaded. You can't skip that. You can't skip that. You're not going to have peace. You're going to fight all the days of your life, restless, tired. Stay on the ready. Finger on the trigger against the evil one, the house of time. Let's see. Do we have more? So I replied to you just to make sure I could read this correctly. Bless you, Mother, and thank you. Bless you, Sister Ashley. I love you. I love you, too. Really. It's not shallow words. She says, Mother, can you explain what a man looks like or sounds like? Maybe she meant, Mother, can you explain what speaking like a man looks like or sounds like?
Yes. You know, sometimes you can tend to have, you know, a very loud voice, a very aggressive behavior when you're speaking to someone. You know, it would be overly aggressive, kind of in your face. You would, I think that even if women have masculine tendencies or who speak like a man, they're going to try to find a way to talk to another man. You know, you're going to talk in an aggressive way. Sometimes women say, I just don't vibe with the women. I just don't get along with the women. And so then they want to go and speak with the men. And that's a red flag because you're created to be a woman, so you should be comfortable with speaking to the women. But it could be an overly aggressive speech, an overly aggressive behavior, in your face type thing. And I'm not saying that this behavior is wrong for men to do. What I'm saying is that women don't behave or carry themselves in that way, in an overly aggressive manner. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. No more questions from the emails. Do I have any more questions from the audience? No. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, send some kind words to Sister Bonnie. What would you have to say?
Sister Bonnie, I call her Bon Bon, Sister Bon Bon, and I did want to include my sister wives before I shut down, but Sister Bon Bon, I just want to say that she has added something so beautiful to Elder's household. I know it has been, a transition for her. Anytime you come into a family, into something new, there's a huge transition that has to take place, and it has been beautiful to watch her transition into that. Sister Bon Bon is she's really added a lot here to Straightway Georgia in the way of the schooling is concerned, in the way of becoming another mother to Mariah, a great sister wife to myself and to Chandra, and a great wife to Elder, and a great sister to all the women here. And I love you dearly, and I love the support that you give no matter what needs to be done. You know, she's we say that she talks 100 miles an hour, and she moves that fast too, but, you know, she'll get it done. Sister Bon Bon is she'll just get it done, whatever needs to be done. So bless you. Bless you, Bonnie. I love you.
Hallelujah. I had, too, in my heart to ask you about your sisters. So hallelujah for one mind. Give a shout-out to Chandra.
We call her Auntie, and she has been there from the beginning. And, you know, I think people think, well, you know, y'all have a good relationship because you knew each other before you met Pastor. And that's not necessarily true. I love the love that Auntie has in her heart for Yah, first and foremost, the commitment. You know, she's just committed to love Yah no matter what. She's been there for Elder and myself from the very, very, very beginning. Even when we first got married, we knew Auntie Chandra, and she's been with us through, I guess you could say, thick and thin. She's been with us through everything. It's beautiful to see how she's raised our daughter Tia, and helping to raise our daughter Momo, and again, being the auntie of Israel, being the wife to Elder, and being the auntie to all the women that are here in the house. And I love you, Auntie.
Give a shout-out to Mom Muncie.
Mother Muncie is my mother. And, you know, she'll tell you when she first came into the faith, you know, I was a little hesitant. I didn't know what to think of Mom Muncie because she was so direct forward, and I just was not used to that at all. You know, I was very quiet, and she was just very direct. But what I want to say about Mom Muncie is her love is very direct. It's not her. It's her love is very direct. And so we have even been through a lot together, the community there and the community here. And she and I, we've experienced a lot. We've experienced a lot of tears together. We've experienced a lot of joy together. And it's an honor to see an aged woman just stand strong. And I love her dearly. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Let's wrap it up. To our beloved Elder Rufus, can everyone say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hey, say some words to our elder and your covenant master.
To my elder and my covenant master, I would not be anything at all without elder. I would not be in the truth. I would never have an understanding of the Sabbath. It's hard to put it into words. It really is. He is truly everything that I need, everything that I needed. Yah knew what I needed in him, and he is everything that I need, and I strive to be what he needs me to be daily. So it's an honor to have him as a covenant master. An honor to have him as a friend. It's an honor to have him as an elder, leader of Israel, and a follower of Pastor Dow as he submits to Yah. Bless you.
Hallelujah. Bless you, all of you. Thank you so much. You've heard from a woman who is doing all she can to prepare her heart to meet her Maker. Hallelujah. Our Messiah is soon to return. Welcome to the Straightway Truth, the ministry of truth. Really, it is. How are you doing, my sisters, everybody? How are you doing? We care. We really, really do. We hope that you have praises on your lips, overcoming testimonies in your heart. Hallelujah. We hope that you are conquering and moving mountains like we are. Blessed be the Most High's name forever and ever, for his mercy endure forever, forever. Shout out to all the communities. Shout out to Goshen. We're going to hear our song again. Go ahead and hit it.
Olen hebrealainen Suomesta ja rakastan Straightway-heimoani ja siskojani.
Israel. Ani Ivriam Israel. Ohevet et shevet Straightway ve'achyotai.
Trinidad. I am a Hebrew from Trinidad and Tobago. I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Puerto Rico.
Soy hebrea de Puerto Rico y amo a la tribu de Straightway y también a mis hermanas.
Philippines. Sa koka Hebrew gikan sa Cebu, Philippines. Gihigugma na ako ang pamilya sa Straightway. Labi na ang mga igsuon na ako nga babae.
Mwe Señor Hebrew. Mwe fet Haiti. Mwe reme Straightway tribwe esemyo.
Australia.
I am a Hebrew from Australia and I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Japan. Watashi wa 日本からのヘブライ人です。私はストライウェイ族と私の姉妹が大好きです。
Canada? I am a Hebrew from Canada, and I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.